Activity text number 30.
Lokanam lokapalanam.
Lokanam lokapalanam.
Madhvayam kalpajivinam.
Madhvayam kalpajivinam.
Ramanopi bhayam matto.
Ramanopi bhayam matto.
Dviparardha parayushah.
Dviparardha parayushah.
Lokanam. In all planetary systems.
Lokapalanam.
And for all planetary leaders.
And all the planetary leaders.
Such as the demigods.
Such as the demigods.
Mat.
Of me.
Bhayam.
Very sphere.
Kalpajivinam.
Kalpajivinam.
For those who live for a kalpa.
For those who live for a kalpa.
For a day of Brahma.
For a day of Brahma.
Brahmanah,
Brahmanah,
of Lord Brahma,
of Lord Brahma,
Api,
Api,
even,
even,
I am,
very sphere,
very sphere, Mataha,
Mataha,
from me,
from me,
Dviparardha,
Dviparardha,
two paradas,
two paradas,
totaling,
totaling,
a lot. it's billions of years. 311
billion.
Depends on how you calculate a billion, because there's two different ways of doing it. Anyway, we'll say here, totaling 311 billion, 40 million years. No. 311 billion, 40,000 million years. Okay, you can see it. Yeah, it's a lot. Okay, para supreme. Ayushah. Whose duration of life? In all planetary systems, from the heavenly to the hellish, for all the great demigods who live for 1,000 million cycles. There is fear of me in my form of time. Even Brahma, who possesses the supreme lifespan of 40,000 million years, is also afraid of me. Purport. There are many statements throughout Vedic literature proving that even the great demigods fear the time potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even in heavenly planets, there is no relief from the miseries of material life. No conditioned soul can live eternally, as clearly demonstrated by the deaths of Hiranyakashipu and other demons. Since even the demigods fear the time potency of the personality of Godhead, one may easily conclude that Krishna is the absolute truth and that he is eternally the supreme control of everything and everyone. Lord Krishna is the only real shelter. Chakshurumuditam chena tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Vishtam stapitam chena bhutale svayam rupa jaga samayam tisva prakantikam mukham karoti vachalam pangunam kaivairyam yat kripatamam vande Sri Gurum dinacharinam. Saying that on the battlefield there are no atheists.
Everybody's praying, get me out of here. Please save me. Please protect me. So when the living enemy faces death, then he's afraid. Due to ignorance, our existence continues in the material world. It starts, it continues, and it continues on and on. And so long as we remain in ignorance of our spiritual identity, then we have to undergo this cycle of birth and death. And each time we die, we are then under the control completely of the material energy. Ultimately, it's being directed by Krishna, so therefore, actually, we're under the control of Krishna. And we're then cast into one of the 8,400,000 species of life. And, you know, the fear is, where am I going to end up next? What kind of a suffering condition? Especially when the natural propensity of the living entity is satchit ananda. Our natural position is our eternal position. Our longing and desire is to be situated in our satchit ananda form. So this cycle of birth and death is totally foreign to the eternal and you know, the ignorance that comes with it, the suffering that comes with it, is totally foreign to our satchitananda position. We're actually eternal, we're full of knowledge, and we're blissful. That's our original position. With material existence, it's where the hell am I going to end up next? So there's ignorance. There's the continual chopping and changing of material life. So there's no permanence. The only permanent thing, or one of the permanent things that you can be, that you can expect in material existence is that everything's going to change. So it's a completely choppy, rocky ride. And in all of that, it's near and under. There is some happiness, but that happiness is described as like the happiness of the dunking stool. In medieval times, you know, they used to put people in stocks. And then the villagers could come along and throw their rotten tomatoes at the person that was being punished, and then take that. And another method of punishment, and they'd be left in the stocks, you know, all day, all night, for whatever it was that they happened to have done wrong. And then, but another punishment was the dunking stool, where they strap somebody to a seat on like a seesaw, and then they dip them into the pond. It turns out they're practically drowning, coughing and spluttering, and then they pull them out of the water and let them have a breath of air, and then back into the water again. for more enjoyment. So you know, the only enjoyment of the dunking stool is that you're allowed to come up for air once every, you know, 3 or 4 minutes just before you drown. So this is, material existence is likened to that. We're in a state of suffering, and when there's a relief from the suffering, then we think, oh, now I'm enjoying. But still, in the back of the minds of the living entity, there's always that haunting feeling that effect, that fear, bhaya, that comes as a result of the ignorance, maya, comes about as a result of ignorance. Actually, all of our activities, Rupa Goswami explains in the negative version, how all of the activities of a living entity in the material world are precipitated by this ignorance. They're all
precipitated by ignorance. That's why we do things which are ultimately not good for us. And the activities performed, pushed by the motive of passion, pushed by the motive of ignorance, sometimes also by the motive of goodness, which is still binding, unless it leads us to the point of transcendental action or akarma, we're going to be caught up in the realm of karma and vikarma. Okay, we may be performing activities which are so-called good, but as was mentioned in a previous purport, even the best of the material world is imperfect because it doesn't release us from this ignorance and the consequent cycle of birth and death. So we're out of ignorance, impelled to act in ways which ultimately just sow the seeds of further confusion. Sow the seeds of material desires, actually. And Rupa Goswami explains how this cycle is perpetual. It keeps on moving the living entity. And as a result, always in fear. This is basically it's the underlying factor of material existence. Whereas one who is in knowledge is abhayam, free from fear. So such sort of Prabhupada's devotee initiated name was Abhaya Charanara Vinda. Which one, and basically, as it mentions here, you know, those who haven't taken shelter of Krishna, basically, they're going to be caught up in this fearful condition because they're not aware of where they're going to go next, what the next result is. And you can see that fear of death that is mentioned here. It influences everybody. The demigods, the demons, the human beings, the animals, the reptiles, all of the different species, all of the different living entities, it affects everybody. And you can see it's mentioned here, Hiranyakashipu as an example. What did Hiranyakashipu want from Lord Brahma? He wanted the eternality. So, you know, so he made all these, you know, please give me this benediction, please give me that benediction. Let me not be killed inside and outside. Right? That should cover everything. Let it not be in the daytime or the nighttime. Just trying to cover all of his bases. Right? Let it not be by man or animal. Or by demigod or by any living being. Let it not be by weapons, right? What else was it?
In the ground. Not on ground, not in air.
Not in the ground, not in the sky. Not in the water too, I suppose. Just in case. Got to cover all bases. What else did he ask for?
Daytime.
I've already got daytime and nighttime. Do you know, by all of these different maneuvers, he's trying to avoid death. You know, Prabhupada tells the story of the wealthy man who was pleading with his doctor. Please, just give me 4 more years so I can fulfill my plans. He's begging with his doctor. Just prolong my life for that extra couple of years so I can just complete my plans. But the doctor wasn't able to extend his life any longer than the amount that's already allotted. So despite the fact that Hiranyakashipu was very keen to live forever, still Lord Nrisimhadev terminated his existence And everybody wants to extend the duration, even if they're suffering. Even if they're suffering on their deathbed, still people want to live longer. Well, in this day and age, this is interesting. In this day and age, we get the depths of ignorance where we see people do want to kill them. They want to just end their life, so-called end their life. Right? Based on a bodily conception, though, that I am this body. And they're thinking, yes, at the end of this body, I'll finish my suffering. Not realizing that the body may finish, but the soul, living entity, continues on, and you'll get your just deserts. Whether in this lifetime or in the next lifetime, everything is arranged in such a way so that everybody gets their just rewards. So, everybody wants to live eternally, because that's the nature of the living entity, that's the nature of the spirit soul. But, caught up under the influence of the material energy, ultimately being directed by Krishna, everybody suffers the same fate. And so therefore, there's a great deal of respect and appreciation for the personality of Godhead, because ultimately he's the creator, he's the maintainer, and in the end, he's the destroyer. And, you know, we may not bow down to him now, but at the time of death, everybody bows down. Right? Nobody can deny the authority of God when he appears in the form of death. And that was the shocking thing for Arjuna. You know, when Arjuna saw the full nature of the universal form of Krishna, he was shocked. Because Arjuna's natural relationship with Krishna is a loving friend and a companion. Yet when he saw all of the soldiers on the battlefield, everybody entering into the devouring mouth of all encompassing time, and he was shocked. His hairs were standing on end. He was petrified. You know, the fear of death is such that it evinces physical symptoms, you know, shaking, hair standing on end, vomiting, you know, the whole body just goes to pieces. Huh? Don't laugh, it's going to happen. So what speak of the demigods in the minuscule, minute living entities like us and lesser are all ultimately dependent upon Krishna. This is the point here. Time I am the destroyer of all worlds. Krishna mentions in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He's the creator, maintainer, and ultimately the destroyer. And so it's easy to understand that he is the supreme eternal controller of everybody, and you know, one who's in knowledge will surrender as a result to Krishna. Easily will surrender in appreciation of his greatness, if you like. Of course, that means then that the relationship is somewhat in awe and reverence. is somewhat in awe and reverence. It is not the way in which the devotees actually like to see Krishna. It's like Arjuna was quick to ask Krishna, please reveal your original form, which is dear to me, rather than this fearful, you know, universal form, devouring and smashing everybody and burning everybody up. That's not the most attractive feature. It's certainly the feature that the Lord manifests for all of the living entities in the material creation, who are somewhat divorced or detached, or not even, shall we say, disconnected from Krishna. You know, in our foolishness, we think we're the Lord and Masters of the material creation. We're the Lord, and in one sense we are the masters of our own destiny. But that destiny is not very pretty if it isn't in relationship with Krishna. And it means that again and again we have to face this, you know, cycle of birth and death. We always have to go through this whole process. Not very pleasant, really. So there's one manifestation of Krishna, but not the most attractive feature of the Lord. And so therefore Arjuna asks Krishna, please appear before me in your original form. So he then shows Arjuna his Vishnu form, the four-handed Vishnu form, and then his original form as Krishna, two arms. This is the original form. The material creation is manifest from Lord Vishnu. But Lord Vishnu is an expansion of Krishna. So Krishna is the original. Lord Vishnu is the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. But as I like to explain, you know, Lord Vishnu is Krishna at the office. That's where he does his business of material creation and destruction and all of these different things. And even in his working, you know, he likes to lie down and sleep. Lord Vishnu shows how work should be done. And so actually then he delegates to all the different demigods, Lord Brahma and so forth. He delegates the material creation and oversees everything. And he's decorated with it, you know, with the club and the discus and the conch and the lotus. Which demonstrate his different powers, prowess, weapons for destroying the demons and the conch and the lotus are for giving benedictions to the devotees. But Krishna is detached even from that activity. He's simply playing his flute in the forest of Vrindavan, courting the cowherd damsels and sporting in the forest with his friends, herding the cows. You know, just an ideal, just a fun life style. That's Krishna's program. And of course that's the most attractive feature. That's the feature that the devotees are attracted to. They're not so much interested in the of course, shouldn't say they're not interested, but they're more inclined towards the attractive nature of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan than the you know, the creation, maintenance and destruction of the material universe as manifest by Mahavishnu and the other Vishnu expansions and the demigods and so forth. So while the devotees are aware of the time factor and the fact that Krishna, as the time factor, destroys everything, they're motivated, they're not so much motivated by that, but they're motivated by the attractiveness of Krishna's pastimes and his association and company is more attractive for the devotees. So they're inclined to serve Krishna out of affection and love for his super excellent qualities, rather fear of his, you know, death. So they're attracted to that, to hearing and chanting about the pastimes. Makchita makkata pranabodayanta parasparam katayantas jamam nityam tushyanti charamanti jam. And even this is a pastime also. You know, because the description here is of the nature of fruitive activities. What is the prime feature of fruitive activities? Has been described here by Krishna.
Temporary,
they have to end. There's going to be death. But this is pastime. The more attractive pastimes are the pastimes of Krishna. In his eternal pastimes that have no end. There's no fear, abhayam. Or Abhaya Charanaravinda, those who are attracted to Krishna and who have taken shelter of Krishna, then they don't have a fear for death. Like I said, when death approached Dhruva Maharaj, he offered his obeisances to him. And then he stepped on his head to get into the Pushpa Viman to go back to Vaikuntha. So death for the devotees doesn't represent the, although it's the same thing, it doesn't represent the same thing for the devotees. Death for the non-devotees means repetition of birth and then another death. But for the devotees, the pure devotees, and even the not so pure devotees, it represents an opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead. If one is pure in consciousness, pure in heart, then Prabhupada explains one gets an opportunity to take birth in the planet, in the mature world where Krishna is performing his pastimes. And then, just as in this lifetime, it's an opportunity to learn about the process of devotional service and to practice pure devotional service. So one who is adept in pure devotional service is then given an opportunity to take birth in the planet where Krishna is performing his pastime in the association of his eternal associates. So at that point then they can be perfected in pure devotional service and elevated to the point of spontaneous devotional service, Radha Nuga Bhakti. So death for the pure devotee, for the purified devotee, is an opportunity to continue their service to the Lord. Not, you know, oh no, where am I going to go now? What suffering have I got to experience? basically ignorance. Ignorance is the source of fear. So if you want to live forever, then that's the solution. The solution for living forever is to purchase one's ticket to go back to the spiritual realm. And that's done by engaging in the process of sadhana bhakti, so that one can be elevated gradually to the point of spontaneous devotional service. It's something that's natural to us. It's inherent in our nature. It's part of who we are. At the moment, it's all covered over by layers and layers of material conditioning. But the pure consciousness, the pure state of a living entity is just waiting to be uncovered. And it's that uncovering is the basic process of devotional service. And of course, that's done under the auspices of Krishna, Radha Krishna actually. Under the auspices of Krishna, the Supreme Controller, and under the auspices of Radharani, who's the personification of the spiritual energy. She's a personification of devotional service, which is why we chant Hare Krishna. Right? We're calling out to Radharani and Krishna, please engage me in your service. And that then stops this cycle of birth and death and having to be in this fearful condition. So I think we'll finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions on these points?
What is the destination, Prabhu, for the followers of Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
There are two parts of Goloka, right? There's the Navadvipa section, and then there's the Gokul section. So you get a chance to be in both places.
And Jagannath Puri.
And you can go to Jagannath Puri too. Because Jagannath Puri is an extension of Mahaprabhu's pastimes, so it must be part of that lila. But as I've heard Prabhupada explain it in his books, there's Gokul and there's Navadvipa, and so one gets to then associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Sankirtan pastimes. Whether that encompasses Jagannath Puri or not, I'm not sure. You can probably have an excursion to Jagannath Puri if you want. Side tours to Jagannath Puri. Anything's possible. But certainly Navadvipa, as Prabhupada described, Navadvipa and Gokul. Yes.
What about
Dwarka? Well, actually, now that you mention it, you see, now in Dwarka, the mood of Dwarka is more awe and reverential. So it's an option. But generally, for those who are, you know, attracted to Radha Krishna Lila, then it's Goloka for them. Right? I haven't read up on the nectar of devotion to fully recently to be able to describe that.
In any case, we have Krishna.
Yeah, Krishna's there. But Dwarka is a different mood. And you see, what did Radharani want from Krishna when they met him in Kurukshetra? Right? You know, it says the same moon, full moon night, and you're the same Krishna and we're the... But the moon is not the same. Because, you know, Krishna was there with his armies and there was a whole mela. But it wasn't the same atmosphere as the atmosphere that's found in Vrindavan. And so they were... That's the whole lila of Rathayatra, where Radharani, or Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri, was experiencing that bhava, if you like, that mood of calling Krishna back to Vrindavan, because in that environment of awe and reverence, that depth of love and affection is not experienced, or it's not relished as much. So, it depends on your purity of heart. Depends on where you end up going. Right? There are some of us who might end up in the heavenly planets simply because we haven't gotten rid of the desire to enjoy yet. So that's a possibility. It's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita in the 6th chapter. After, what is it, a short practice of devotional service, then one is elevated to the heavenly planets to enjoy for a long period of time. So depending on our purity of heart, that'll determine where we end up, actually. Right? But it's the goal of the Goswamis and Prabhupada, the Acharyas, to elevate us to the topmost state of consciousness, which is the topmost planets in the spiritual realm. That's Goloka and for the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Navadvipa, where the Sankirtan pastimes are performed eternally. So lots of kirtan. You know, there are descriptions of the past of the kirtan pastimes where Lord Chaitanya becomes as light as a feather. There's those have to hold him down. Then he becomes as heavy as lead and they can't get him up. Right? Can you imagine having a kirtan where we're all floating around the temple room? Right? That's kirtan. That's sankirtan. Done in a very pure and devotional mood. We'd probably just get up on the idea that we can fly around the place and then bring it back down to earth again. Right? It's got to be done with that mood of love for Krishna. And out of a mood, or the mood is rendering service, not enjoying. That's the thing. It's enjoyable, but not enjoyed, if you like. If we're doing things just with a desire to enjoy, then it's got to be done with a mood to serve. So that mood will elevate us to the highest planets in the spiritual realm. That's what did I say? Goloka? I said Gokul before, I meant Goloka, Vrindavan. Gokul is the place on earth where the Lord is performing his pastimes. That's the final polishing school. Then one's elevated to the Goloka Vrindavan. Anything else?
Yeah. And the pastimes of Jagannath, Lord Jagannath, and then Subhadra, is that took place in Vrindavan?
No, that's Kurukshetra.
Kurukshetra? Where is that exactly?
Where is Kurukshetra?
Yes.
No, it's not Kurukshetra, it's
It's Dwarka.
Is it Kurukshetra where the... Yeah, it is. Yeah, where's Kurukshetra? It's on the road to Chandigarh.
Very close.
No, I've been there. I went there last year. Was it this year?
Panipat, near Panipat.
Last year.
There is Panipat.
It's on the road to Punjab from Delhi. That I know. And Woody Manta took us to Kurukshetra last year, I think it was. We have two temples there. And one of the temples is right, what is it, Jyotishthar, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, there's the Kund, if you like, and the island and the place where Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita. And then on the other side of that area of water, ISKCON has a temple right there. Land and little farming, some cows. So, and also in Kurukshetra there's that Brahma Kund, a big kund. We went for it, have a swim. Well, actually, we didn't have a swim. it's too cold. But, what's his name? Park. He wanted to take bath in Brahma Kund. So it's a very, you know, ancient place of pilgrimage, and that's where the residents of Vrindavan and the residents of Dwarka all met at the time when there was a lunar or solar eclipse, wasn't it? There was going to be an eclipse, so they went there for purification, take bath at that time. That's where they met. And that's where this Krishna met Radharani and the gopis, and that's when the gopis were encouraging to come back to Vrindavan.
Like in India, like in Vrindavan, we worship Krishna with with love, because in Dwarka, devotees worship Krishna with awe and reverence. But what about the devotees who worship Krishna as like own child? Like in India, many temples, they worship like small baby Krishna.
Yeah.
What's their destination? Where they go? Like parents of the
Well, that's what they, isn't that what they call Pushti Ma? Worshipping Gopal. Well, that's sort of in the mood of Vatsalya Rasa, right? Vatsalya Rasa. So one would assume that that's the destination that they will achieve, assuming that they become pure devotees and they cultivate that mood of service to Krishna as a parent, basically. But the teachings of the Goswamis is to cultivate the mood of more intimate association on a Madhurya platform, which is a step above Vatsalya. Of course, they're all in one sense equal, because it's service to Krishna and it's a particular mood or a particular taste or a particular rasa, basically. So, you know, Krishna doesn't differentiate between the service of the cowherd boys and the service of the cows, and you know, but the Goswamis explain that in the depths of experience, in the mellows of Madhurya Rasa, there is a culmination, well, shall we say, a combination of all of the different experiences combined, and so it's considered to be superior. But I guess if done purely, then it's the cultivation of Vatsalya Rasa. Is that right? That's... Yeah. Anything else?
The book of Tom Jones.
Sorry?
To the
nectar of devotion. There's a description of parabdha karma, aparabdha karma, karma. Desires which exist in seed form. I can't remember which chapter it is. I can find it. Is there an extra devotion over there? Act of devotion.
Not there.
Okay. I'll have a look over. All right. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam.